Good morning, everyone. Today, as you know, was the conclusion of our Bible class for this session. And we are blessed with a variety of options for our adults. I think there are four classes, and then outstanding classes from the individual ages, from the toddlers all the way up through high school. And I just want to thank all of you, many of you are involved in our teaching program somehow, supporting that, and it is really a blessing to us all, and of course, everything we do should be in glory to God. Reason I bring that up, when we first were welcomed into this family over 30 years ago now, so there were several things that we were looking for in a church. First of all, is it Bible-based? Is it Christ-centered? You know, obviously. Secondly, we were welcomed by encouraging and friendly Christians that helped us early in life. And then, last but not least, were the Bible classes. We learned so much, and we appreciated it so much. And so I think this continues even today. Several of the new families that come in to join us, they all comment about the Bible classes. And how much they appreciate them since they started attending. And so the new session starts on Wednesday, and I'm sure Maurice will share more information. But if you're not in one of these classes, why don't you start? I mean, you're missing a golden opportunity to gain wisdom with God. And so for the past few weeks, I've had the privilege to be with our high school students. And I think there are almost 25 on the roster, a part of this group. And I told each one of them, I love them this morning again, and I told them that they have a great future, bright future in the Lord's kingdom, and I really believe that. Wisdom on God's side was our topic of study. And the emphasis, of course, is on the importance of godly wisdom in our life. And not only we all would understand this is important with our youth, but it's important for all ages and all generations. And the example I want you to consider, if you remember, the successor to King Solomon was his son Rehoboam. Well, that's some tough shoes to fill. So he comes in, and he is right off the bat challenged with his leadership in comparison to his father. And so they want to know what kind of service he's going to be requiring from the people. And so he wisely gets counsel. He goes to the elders and asks for their advice. He also goes to his young peers and asks for their advice. The elders come back and they tell him, you need to lighten the load some. It would be wise to do that. Well, the young peers, who also were being influenced by his adversary, Jeroboam, they told him you need to tighten things up even more. So you know the rest of the story. He listened to the wrong advice. He went with what the young men were telling him. The nation revolted, and basically the kingdom was split. What did Rehoboam need? He needed wisdom. He needed better judgment. And that's something that I realize that I need more so each day, now even more than ever. And it's my hope this morning that the lesson, the thoughts that I want to share from God's Word will help us all to be able to consider how we can better implement this in our own personal lives. Some of you right now may be considering a career path. Some of you may be considering friends to hang out with. Some of you may be considering a future spouse. Some of you may be thinking about where I'm going to live, maybe a significant financial commitment, or just the next step in life, and hopefully even an important spiritual decision. Wisdom on God's side is applying the knowledge of God to our lives. And it's not just learning that leads to wisdom, but it's the ability to apply what is learned. Some of the most educated people that I have known are some of the most foolish. And some of the simplest people in life are some of the wisest because they apply what they know in their lives. So I feel like I'm talking to a friendly group this morning that would agree with me that it's certain that God's Word is the blueprint for our purpose in life. It gives us the answer to life. It is the giver of life. Unfortunately, we're in the minority, I believe. Many in the world hold an ignorant misunderstanding of the Bible, of God's Word. They see it as some archaic collection of spiritual cliches which have no relevancy in my personal life. That could be the furthest from the truth, and I hope we can see that this morning. We not only find the wisdom of God in His Word, but His Word actually tells us that it's evident in the world around us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. If you'd like, I will have a few passages. Some will be before presented, but I'm going to read now from the book of Romans. Romans, the first chapter. If you'd like to follow along or you'd like to listen with me. Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20. And I read, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse." God created us with the ability to comprehend His wisdom and to look at creation and understand His power. So now I'm going to look over to the Proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs of Solomon, as you can imagine, there's heavy influence in this topic from the Proverbs. I'll be reading from the chapter 3 of Proverbs, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." So at this point, as I continue reading, for the gain from her, so he starts using these personal pronouns, she and her, to refer to the one that's blessed with wisdom. "For the gain from her," or wisdom, "is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed," or blessed. This tree of life is the wisdom from God. It leads one to the fountain of life. And so we know that there are many life benefits from the wisdom of God as told to us in the Word of God. There are physical benefits. There's longer life. There's a better, fuller life that's available. There are social enhancements that will help us with friends and family. There are personal benefits. There are psychological benefits that help us with strength and security and confidence. And of course, there's religious benefits, morally benefits with our fellowship with God and our disassociation from evil. There are life benefits by being on wisdom or having the wisdom on God's side. Many passages tell us about the trust in God and how it's compared to the familiar illustration of the good, lively tree that bears good fruit. So I'm just going to look at one of these from the first chapter of the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 1, just the first few verses here, and it reads, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law, or in his law, he meditates both day and night." So along with these very first few words of the Psalms, and then Solomon's message that we just read a few minutes ago, Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and gets understanding. We're told how to have a good life. The life of a righteous person then will be blessed, will be fulfilling. And the result then is peace and contentment. The righteous will delight in the laws of God. It's our primary focus. We're concerned about what God wants us to do to have a good life. So we diligently try to understand the meaning of it. The laws are not intended or not meant to be restrictive or somehow negative for us, but it's for our benefit. And one that receives that, one that understands that, it goes on to tell us, again, the one that's blessed is compared to a beautiful, healthy, long-living tree that's prosperous with fruit. So now let's move over to the epistles. Over to the epistles, I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning with verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Apostle Paul here writes to Christians to walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the calling. Maybe not something that we really think about or communicate. We might say live to the standard of a Christian. So live like God would have us to. How we live our lives, how we use our time, make the best use of our time. These things are important to God, and it should be important to us. We ought to use caution. Look carefully. We ought to use caution, use discretion in our lives, because it says the days are evil. There's evil, there's temptation that's all around us. It's easy for us to conform to the world, to fall into sin. Thus, a godly life in this world requires wisdom from above, not wisdom on this earth. Now we'll go over to the book of James. James chapter 3. James, the brother of Jesus here, he asks a simple question, and then he provides us with his response. I'll be reading from James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, through his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Then if we drop on down verses 17 and 18, it tells us, it describes this wisdom from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, it's full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Those are the results, those are the characteristics from wisdom from above. But James tells us about a different kind of wisdom. If we go back up to verse 14 now, and he condemns this wisdom. Notice this wisdom here is in conflict with godly wisdom. It is an attitude of self-interest and self-gratification. Beginning in verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Can you relate to that? Is there disorder and every vile practice in your life? It's in the world around us. Because the world has rejected the wisdom of God, just as they did during the day of Moses, just as they do during our day today, where everyone goes about and does whatever is right in their own eyes. Why is there crime? Why is there ungodliness and sin? A rejection of God's wisdom. And when we reject God's wisdom from above, our families, they become more disorderly, more dysfunctional. Our society, our relationships become more destructive because of the worldly wisdom, the focus on our desires and our wants and our lack of focus on God. Example. Here are just some headlines that you could read any day of the week. North Carolina man arrested, charged with murder of 7-year-old during alleged road rage incident. Houston man who allegedly killed teen in road rage incident after Astros game. Grand jury indicts 2 North Alabama men in road rage incident that left truck full of bullet holes. Yeah, North Alabama men. This was within the past year, within a few miles of where you and I are sitting and standing this morning. Many of us have witnessed, hopefully not as many of us have experienced. A driver changes lane, another driver gets upset with them, horns blow, obscenities are shouted, gestures are made, control is lost, and the outburst is regrettable actions. Unfortunately, this was the outcome over in Southern California of a road rage incident, which tragically ended the life of a 6-year-old boy. The lack of self-control led to foolish actions and the subsequent killing of an innocent child. And I know this is heartbreaking, sad event, but I use it to help us understand how we need the wisdom of God in our lives. Even though this incident occurred all the way across the country, I just gave you an example of what happened just a few miles down the road. So what I discussed with our high school students, how would you respond under those same circumstances? Don't wait until it happens. Be prepared now. You've got to get your mind right now with how you would respond. Do you choose the worldly wisdom or you choose wisdom from above? You're going to be pushed. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be challenged. How do you respond to those circumstances? Our choices have consequences, some which have very serious outcomes. Foolish decisions will bring more pain to our lives. We need to have the wisdom on God's side. So how do I get this wisdom? It's through our experiences, right? Is experience always the best teacher? Well, sometimes it is, but not always. Maturity doesn't necessarily come with time. Sometimes age doesn't always equate with wisdom. Experience may not be the best teacher. Rather, evaluated experience is a better teacher. The ability to use our experiences to change one's behavior. Trial and error is another method that we experience, but may not be the best teacher. Why? Most people don't learn from their mistakes. It's an endless cycle for some. The criminal who continues to repeat poor judgment with bad outcomes. In the parable of the prodigal son, if you'll remember, what a happy occasion. After years of concern and stress, this father welcomes this young son back home as a result of his poor judgment. However, it was a happy occasion, but there was anguish, there was financial loss, there was the fallout of sin as a result of the experiences of this younger son. We are told of a few young men that demonstrated amazing wisdom. So Joseph was known as the man of God. We talked about this morning, if y'all remember. At the age of 30, he was put in power over Egypt. Age of 30. And who recognized him? Pharaoh of Egypt. He recognized that there was none so deserving and wise with the Spirit of God than Joseph. That's amazing coming from Pharaoh, right? God used Joseph in saving Israel, in saving Egypt, and in saving his family from starvation. We're also told of the account of Daniel, who in his teens and 20s, he was known for exceptional ability, filled with divine knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So whether you're in your teens or your 20s or your 30s, whatever your age, younger or older, and I think it's all of us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. A young and wise King Solomon, he understood this, and he made this request as he reigned to God. Give me an understanding mind so that I can rule properly, distinguishing between right and wrong. This pleased God. This made God so happy that Solomon asked for this, because we understand that Solomon could have asked for longer life. He could have asked to be, in control of his enemies and able to overrule them. He could have asked even for wealth, but God recognized what he asked for. He even blessed him with wealth and these things that he didn't even really ask for. His wisdom was known among the people, was known among nations around. All of Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. What a wonderful time in the reign of King Solomon. All of this is reserved for us in our word some 3,000 years later, as he was a key contributor for the wisdom literature books that we have. There are over 900 proverbs that are still relevant to us today that are the inspired word of God. Do yourself a favor and meditate on those words. Read those and use those in your life. So what does God's wisdom then require from you and I? This proverb explains it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting the wisdom of God will help us all decide the best course of action in our lives. The Word of God gives us insight into this understanding. It teaches us to listen to qualified advisors. It tells us to listen to our teachers, to mentors, our parents, to listen to discipline, listen to other people's mistakes, notice our own mistakes. These all will allow us to grow in wisdom and understanding. And also, wisdom requires us to have humility. Humility. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Obedience is humility toward God in practice. We are so foolish and full of pride when we think we have all the right answers. Pride has affected our relationship with God since the beginning of time. For example, you remember King Nebuchadnezzar, who could forget this king of Babylon, who spoke, listen to me, is not this great Babylon which I have built my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty. Before he could get these words out, he was crawling around on the ground as a wild animal, learning this great lesson of humility. The parable of the rich fool, it's available to us to learn about a foolish focus of worldly wisdom. This man's ability, he had the ability, he had the wealth, he had the possessions. I'm just going to build bigger barns for these things. Even Christians in Corinth, they got a letter from an apostle, a stern letter about their selfishness and pride. This had led to division, discord, and dissension among them, displaying the wisdom of the world in their lives and their failure to live by the Spirit. Staying in Corinth, the Corinthians, they would look to the scribes and the world, the Greek philosophers, for their worldly wisdom. They thought they had all the answers, thinking that they could make sense out of life and death and this universe. Does that sound familiar today? Some 2,000 years later, the idea is the same way in our culture today. The media, they grab anyone that has any kind of worldly expertise, and they're going to ask them for their advice, their input, and the people are hanging on every word that they say. Some even claim to have all the answers about this world and about life and death and the universe. In retrospect, they're claiming to be in control of it by acting like they have all the answers. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Our pride, our selfishness will prevent us from choosing the wisdom on God's side. So some may say, well, Solomon, okay, I've kind of talked about his good attributes, and we know Solomon had his bad experiences as well. So some may say, well, how could Solomon, with all this wisdom, how then could he make all the mistakes that he made? It's simple. He was human. He was human just like you and just like I. And just because he had all this wisdom, just because I have some wisdom, that doesn't mean that I'm always going to practice that. And aren't we the same way today? How many of us make mistakes when it comes to our finances? How many of us make mistakes when it comes with our wealth? Well, I know that this is probably not good for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, with our health and finances, we might be lucky, we might be fortunate in avoiding some disaster. However, sometimes the mistakes we make are severe. And I don't know about you, but I'm humbled by the example of Solomon and the capacity that he had, the capability that he had, and he still fell short. And looking back, we have an example, we have a record of his life and his experiences, the consequences of his mistake, the impact on the nation, the impact on his family. They were serious consequences due to his sin. And we looked earlier at the ripple effect on his son Rehoboam. That kind of fell over into the rain. And you know, the rest is history with Israel, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Life is good when we choose the wisdom on God's side. Not only life eternal, which is certainly great, but life here today. Who doesn't want to live a good life today? I think most people would answer they do, but sometimes their actions don't follow through with that. God's word exists to help us make wise, godly decisions so that we don't bring more trouble in our lives. That doesn't mean for us that life's going to be perfect, that there are not going to be problems, that there's not going to be adversity. We know that if we live long enough, we will experience both adversity as well as prosperity in our lives. We'll know that we'll have persecution. We're going to have, you know, health issues that all of us have been dealing with and faced with. Financial challenges, problems within our families that sometimes we can't even control. But if we bring on more foolish, worldly wisdom into our lives, I can guarantee you that we will have more unnecessary pain in our lives, and not only in our lives, but those that we have contact with. So really quickly, I'm going to give you just two practical topics that are addressed with the wisdom on God's side. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Wisdom on God's side will guide us with our interpersonal skills. James devotes nearly an entire chapter to the tongue, otherwise known as our speech. He calls it a restless evil, full of deadly poison, and unable to be tamed. If that doesn't get your attention, I'm not sure what is. The capability of what comes out of our mouth, of our communication, it ought to emphasize the need to be disciplined with the way that we speak with others, to express gentleness, to express humility. The wisdom of God teaches us speak less. So many of our troubles come from not controlling our tongues. So guess what? Don't talk as much, because when we talk, that means that there are going to be more ways that we're going to say something that's going to come back and haunt us. The more we talk, the more likely we're going to get ourselves in trouble. The more we talk, the more likely we're going to commit sin. We need to not only speak less, but we need to think before speaking. The wisdom of God tells us that one that is impulsive or quick to speak, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Not only thinking before speaking, but listening more. Again, the one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him. So after we fail to think before speaking, or not listening to the whole matter before speaking, that's just an invitation for us to offer up some foolish response. Therefore, we should listen more. So not only does wisdom with God help us with our interpersonal skills, it also helps us with our finances. What about our finances? And I'm afraid this is something that is too often ignored. I'm not sure why. The Bible has much to tell us about money and its earning and spending, saving, giving, and wasting. God bless wisdom. God bless Solomon, not only with wisdom, as I mentioned earlier, but with great wealth. You know, he had an estimated net worth of $2.1 trillion, if you can get your mind around that. $2.1 trillion then and now. I don't know if anyone has ever had that kind of wealth. He had an understanding of all these things that he wrote about just in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to read all of these, but you can read them. The ability to work hard, the dangers of working well, financial planning, all these things are for our benefit as the wisdom of God. Do these sound relevant to the 21st century? Do we have assets? Do we have things that we're responsible for? Thousands of years after it was written, absolutely, it has benefit for us as well. And I'm confident that all the self-help books, all of the secular financial advice that's available, I think it all goes back to some of these godly concepts. Who do you want to listen to for financial advice? Do you want to listen to a wealthy person, or do you want to listen to a poor person? Do you want to listen to God, or do you want to listen to man? Do you know there are over, and I didn't come up with this, but I understand there are over 2,300 references to money and possessions in God's Word. Do you think it's important? You think it's important? It's in the inspired Word of God. We need God's help in guiding us with our finances. He doesn't want His children to struggle in this life with the worries and cares of this world. He wants you and I to be knowledgeable and be prepared to be good stewards of the blessings that come from God that we have an opportunity to use in our lives. We understand God has a plan for salvation, and we know the result. We'll be saved. We understand God has a plan for marriage, and if we'll be the kind of husbands and wives that we should, then that will be successful, as well as the kind of parents that we should. So why do we want to ignore God's plan for helping us with our physical blessings given to us by God Himself? Our world, our nation around us could use godly wisdom instead of worldly wisdom. We live in a culture that's consumed with overspending, with bankruptcy, with debt. And I'm afraid sometimes we think that is just normal. That is just the way that we should live and should manage our own lives. There are too many unsuccessful marriages that are because of poor financial decisions. You and I could be at risk as a victim of a crime in the wrong place at the wrong time because of our possessions. If we don't use the wisdom of God, it's inevitable we're going to join our society's failures around us. We're going to fall into the sin of financial laziness, materialism, and our own financial catastrophes. God's word is rich in wisdom for us to be the kind of stewards of our assets that are given to us by God. Several passages that I could read. I'll just read the one before you. The rich rule over the poor, and the bar is servant to the lender. So there's two options for us that I've mentioned this morning. There's the wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of God. Which path are you going to take? The path on the left leads to ruin and destruction. A man's own foolishness ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? God tells us that our own foolishness will ruin our life. However, when these things happen, when these problems happen, why do people want to place the blame on others and even place the blame on God? The heart rages, it says here, against God. We reject God's wisdom. We reject wise counsel in the sands of God. When we choose this path and then we want to place the blame on God, that it's somehow God's fault, we choose to open our mouth and say things that would be best when it's kept closed. We choose to make those unwise financial decisions. God's not doing that. We choose to make a vow to our spouse. God didn't do that. We decide to ignore the scriptures. God didn't do that. Who is wise? Who has understanding among you? If so, hear my son and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Each of us this morning has to evaluate their own personal lives, do assessment. I really encourage us all to do that. Otherwise, it's not making the most of our time. And ask ourselves, is our heart focused in the right direction? For the word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. To some that think they're wise, says they're foolish. They're perishing. They're not choosing the wisdom on God's side. But God does give us the wisdom to have the good life now and forever. And there's real value. There's real value in it for us to live with the joy of salvation. The last passage I'm going to read for you this morning is taken from the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3. If you want to follow along, or I'll read for you, Titus chapter 3, and beginning with familiar verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly possessions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Salvation is available as the power of God. You're alive today because of the grace of God. He wants you to be zealous for good works, as we just read. That requires godly living. That requires electing wisdom on God's side. This morning, if you're ready, if you want to make the confession that He is Lord and Savior, and through baptism, your sins can be forgiven, this is a good opportunity as any to do that. If you've been crucified with Christ, but you've allowed the wisdom of this world to take you away, recommit your life this day. Pray for strength. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for wisdom. I hope God will bless each one of us today to have the wisdom on God's side. And I thank you so much for your kind attention this morning. And we're going to stand together now, and we're going to sing this song together.